I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas.
In the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielle Soleil puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
You're listening to the Unrivaled Players Club with Scott Mitchell, Alex Keery, and Utah's Devin Kaufusi. Presented by UCCU on 97.5 1280 The Zone. Powered by KSLSports.com.
All right, welcome back. It's another edition of the Players Club right here on 97.5 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network, powered by KSLSports.com. But the voice already said all that, so you already know it. Alex Keery, Scott Mitchell. Devin Kaufusi, I'm assuming we're going to look. I mean, we're getting a Pac-12 championship kind of bonus episode here. Heaven knows we want to have a Rose Bowl bonus episode of this show, too, because it's a pretty special thing. But how much do you look at it and how much do you guys talk about the possibility of the Rose Bowl being something, not just a pie in the sky deal, which is what it is in like a preseason sense. And now it is the goal. Now it is massively attainable. How have you guys already talked about it this week going into practice?
Actually, not all when it comes to the Rose Bowl. You know, each week, before we get on the bus, head on to the stadium and the hotel, Coach Witt throws up on the projector, it's Pac-12 championship. And so that's the only goal. There has not been any talks of a Rose Bowl coming from the coaches. I mean, we understand, you know, that's the outcome, but you know, the task at hand is Pac-12 championship. It's been the goal. It's been said. It's been talked about. It's been trained for. And it's what we play for.
Yeah, you see, I think you told us that the trophy goes up on the slide, right?
Yep. Everybody sees it shows the trophy. Yep.
Now I got to go look it up. I got to Google what it looks like.
While you guys it's chat. A sweet trophy. And, yeah, you know, Coach Witt mentioned, 2 weeks prior, it was we're getting close enough where you can smell it. Now we're getting this week. You're close enough where you can taste it. So.
How much does it help that 3 of the last 4 years Utah's gone to the Pac-12 championship? This isn't the first time these coaches. Now a lot of the players it might be the first time, but from a coaching staff, from a whole program, it's not the first time. Do you think that's helpful? Have you noticed that it's been what does that mean to the program to actually have been there before?
I think it means a lot. I mean, it's a big stage, and you know, it's for, being the undisputed champion of the conference. Especially you have a conference of teams that that play hard and put out such great athletes and stuff. We actually had the players that played in those past ones that have been here stand up and talk about it and what's kind of different going into this one that we need to have happen. And it's been really cool for me, you know, coming from a school that's independent and coming to this conference. And each game, you know, adds up to, you know, making the standing in the South and then heading to Vegas. It's been really exciting. I've enjoyed it a ton.
Let's talk a little bit about, I was asking Scott this and I was like, this is something I got to ask Devin. Like, how does preparation change? I know every week they go, we take the same attitude and everything, but you're playing this team that you prepared for 13 days ago. And you absolutely put it on them. Does the game plan just stay the same? Like, hey, yeah, this is what we're going to do. We're just going to follow that blueprint. But you also have to kind of anticipate that they're going to have to change some stuff up because, you know,
it didn't work.
38-7 didn't work for them. Uh-huh. So How do you prepare for whatever the countermeasures are that they've got? And what's going on this week with your prep for Oregon? How do you guys get ready for them?
Yeah, it's what's been really nice is, you know, we played them 9 days ago, which is really cool. So we rewatch our film, the film and technique that, you know, we had against them, and we sharpen up and
Do they reissue Hit City hats after the second time you watch it? You get more Hit City hats after
like, I missed this one.
Well,
I wish.
There were Hit City hats.
Yeah, there were Hit City hats against them. So
no, against Colorado.
Were there Colorado Hit City hats?
We moved right on. We didn't even talk about it.
Wow. That's what I'm saying.
That's the mentality. So that's kind of the difference was.
Yeah, it's like that's over with.
It's buttoned up and put away, and you know, this is what we've all... It wasn't talked about, but this is what we just known and stuff. So that's not to be said. This is known that we're having.
I'm assuming you already watched some of their film against Oregon State.
Oh, yeah.
They were super successful on the ground. They were just absolutely – the line of scrimmage that they had such a hard time with you guys with, they won over Oregon State. And Oregon State has – on the defensive line, too, they were able to get some good stops. And Oregon State kind of made a game out of it a little bit toward the end. But this Oregon team – is going to be different. I mean, how do you anticipate they're going to be different than the first time you faced them?
Oh, definitely with, you know, having that chip on their shoulder and, you know, having it, you know, that pain in their neck to come out and put it on us. You know, no one likes, you know, being beat, you know, by multiple scores. And so, you know, coming back as a competitor, it's going to, you know, they're going to come out hard and, you know, having that desire and to really get back into make up for it. That's what we talked about. You know, the competitors on that team are going to make it known that, you know, they're back, you know, with a vengeance, so to say. The other guys that aren't competitors, you'll be able to see and tell. But let's just out physical them and, you know, outplay them.
Yeah, I would think – I actually like that Utah's playing Oregon in the sense that you know you're going to get that. You know you're going to get a team that's going to give you their best effort. So it really puts you on your toes and you know you have to put forth the best effort, which is the way it should be, right?
Yep.
It should be the two best teams playing. Whereas you have a team, maybe Washington State, maybe you kind of subconsciously go in with, well, you know, they're not that good, you know, they're not as good as Oregon, you know, we got this game kind of thing. And I think it keeps you on your toes. Is it hard where you don't know? So you play on Friday. And then you have to wait till the end of Saturday to find out who you're going to play. Mm-hmm. Does that alter your preparation at all? Does that help? And does it hurt another team when they have one fewer day to get ready for the game?
Yeah, I don't alter because of our prep. I don't think it alters it too much. I think it's definitely gives us the advantage for them having one less day, let alone coming off a rival game, because that's just a lot of emotion, a lot, you know, mental exhaustion to, you know, gear up for a rival game and then turn around and go to championship and having one day less of recovery and prep. And so, you know, that was our emphasis was, hey, we have the advantage here. It's got to pay out. It's got to show up in practice to show that, you know, we had the extra day of rest. We got to hit it hard and throughout the week. And, you know, during practice, some coaches say, you know, you don't beat the team on game that you beat them in the prep. So we had a really great day of practice today.
Watching the film from the last time you played Oregon, what are some of the things that you go, wow, we really got to do a better job than we did in that game?
You know, as defensively, but they have too many errors. Last time we played, I think we only had two missed tackles. Our coach was, you know, giving us a little bit of praise there and stuff. I think just always, you know, when it comes down to it, when it's Utah football, especially against Oregon, just got to be physical. And we know they're going to have to bring it up a notch against us when it comes to, you know, at the line of scrimmage and playing physical. So for sure that aspect is going to be there. You know, their quarterback runs and stuff, that's an emphasis. We saw that at Oregon State and stuff. I think they
which is something you guys did the first time around. I mean, Anthony Brown Jr. didn't really have any place to go.
Uh-huh.
I mean, that's his strength.
And that's his strength. And so just, you know, keep an eye out on that and stuff and playing sound defense against a quarterback that runs. And so, you know, looking for, you know, they for sure gotta change something up when you're a team that faces another team that's lost. So just expecting what to see from them and be able to counter and, you know, and stop them there.
I just can't imagine. I mean, how do you with it, one less day, you got to still travel. So you have that travel day and time. I just don't know how much they can schematically change things. Like, they just go, we got to just execute better. We got to be more physical.
At the same time, I can't see them performing as poorly as they did that first week against Utah either. I mean, you've always talked about how it's execution, and if
sometimes matchups are bad too. You know, it's all a matchup issue as well.
Mm-hmm. When you guys talk about it in film room, do you look and go, "I bet they're going to try X, Y, and Z"? What do you think they would try to change up from their first time around against you guys?
I think definitely, you know, maybe getting the, you know, some plays made by their quarterback, you know, him being able to run and stuff. The stuff that, you know, that's success for us in football, you know, it's never really like, it's not always 100%, you know, like you impose your will and that's how you got it. Sometimes, you know, it's just we're in the right place, right time when they make a mistake and stuff. So, you know, watching the film back from the first time we played them, I think they're definitely going to clean up some mistakes that they've had, whether, you know, blocking and climbing to the next level. You know, some catches and stuff. We had some guys tie on coverage and stuff, but they definitely had their chances and stuff. Looking back on the film from that we checked out today, that, you know, if a guy makes a catch here or there, that, you know, it prolongs the drive and maybe ends up differently.
It's going to be weird. Like, I think about the next month for you guys, how wild everything's going to be, just because even if, depending on which bowl game you go to, you're still going to be playing in the postseason. Sometimes I just forget that you guys are students at the same time too. I think we all kind of do. That's why the SIDs are always like, you got to call them student athletes first, you know? And so it's always good. No, so how do you balance that this time of year when it seems like everything's intensified? It's like getting toward the ends of terms, but at the same time, football's intensified massively.
You know, yeah, I was just talking to my cousin about how end of year, you get that end of year kind of like lag. You start to feel it for sure. Yeah. Physically, of course, which then, you know, mentally it lags on you. And then, you know, school is the mental aspect of things. So you definitely feel it, but that's just where, you know, the belief and your actions will show, you know, your desire to win. And Coach Witt has done a great job with the program of, you know, pushing the academics. No excuses, ifs, ands, or buts with the academic side. You know, it's get it done, no off-field issues. That's like, doesn't have to be said. It's just known. And so then you're able to focus on football. And so how you do one thing is how you do everything. Big believer in that. So, you know, getting school wrapped up well allows us to, you know, wrap up and have a good week of football.
So the defense, just you watch it, it's just gotten stronger, stronger, better, better, mm-hmm. tighter, you know, just really dialed in. What's been that transformation with you guys? Because it feels like this time of year, it's almost like you're peaking as a defense. You're playing your very best football right now.
Yeah, it's just knowing. Yeah, I guess just knowing that this isn't our best defense still, and so it's nice, you know, being able to accomplish, you know, a couple check boxes before, and just being confident, knowing that, like, okay, like we're able to do this now, and we got a good feel on that. Let's focus on the next part of becoming a better defense, especially with the young guys contributing, and then yeah, like I said, like peaking at the right moment. It's been very good, you know. Coach Scally is unbelievable in his prep, you know, breaking down film for us, picking up tendencies for us, play calling, putting, you know, the right guys on the field to make those plays has been awesome. I think that's what everyone is just, you know, has gotten used to and comfortable and, you know, trusting that.
Do you get good reads from offensive linemen? Do they tip stuff off?
Yeah. Of course, you know, there's like, you know, pad level body language, formation, we try not to focus too much on that. You know, the biggest tip is, you know, run or pass. That helps a lot. You know, but we just try to, you know, make our read aggressive, stick to our points of technique, and really just, you know, play each down.
We've got to take a break here. When we come back, we're going to wrap up our discussion about the University of Utah a little bit this hour with some comments from Kyle Whittingham about what his future looks like, about, you know, what that going forward, if winning a Rose Bowl this year would affect that decision, or if losing the Rose Bowl this year or losing the Pac-12 championship game, all these things, what all these scenarios could mean for Kyle Whittingham's future at the University of Utah. Stay right here with us. More to go. 97.5, 1280. The Zone. The Zone Sports Network continues.
I'm Dave Cauley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast Cold. Don't miss Cold's new Season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Cherie's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts.